Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. After Colorado State left Las Vegas as conference tournament champions, we finally made it to March Madness, baby, and four Mountain West teams earned their way into the Field of 68. We'll break down the first round matchup for New Mexico, Utah State, San Diego State, and Colorado State, along with my predictions. We'll also briefly mention some major transfer portal dominoes, as well as letting you know about Boise State and San Jose State's own postseason berths, as well as where Boise State finished outside of the field. We finally made it to the big dance, everyone. No time to waste. Let's dive in. Starting with an overview of the Mountain West in this tournament, New Mexico and Utah State both earned 10 seeds. San Diego State will play in the first four as an 11 seed, and Colorado State is slotted in as a 12 seed with an automatic qualifying bid. Boise State ended up finishing as the fourth team out of the field. So like we talked about last week, that Boise State-Colorado State final was essentially a play-in game, and the loser of that game, unfortunately, was going to be left on the outside looking in. As for the conference as a whole, this is the seventh straight year with multiple bids for the Mountain West, and the fourth straight year with four or more bids. Just an incredible accomplishment for a group of five conference. I got to imagine they're the only non-power four conference that has a streak of four or more bids going right now. All right, now diving into the games of March Madness. The first one will be happening on Tuesday at 7:10 Mountain Time, and that is in Dayton, Ohio, in the first four. North Carolina of the ACC at 22-13, taking on our very own San Diego State at 21-9. The Tar Heels are a 3.5-point favorite currently, led by RJ Davis, who is averaging over 17 points a game. They also have a very good point guard in Elliott Cadeau, who's averaging over 6 assists a game. North Carolina overall has a very good offense, a top 35 offense in the country, but their defense has really not been that fantastic this year, and they also struggle with rebounding. So for San Diego State, for one, Nick Boyd is going to have to lock up RJ Davis. That's going to be a big time matchup there at the two spot. And the Aztecs will need Magoon Gwath to have a huge impact defensively. It has been reported that he's going to be playing in this game, the first game he's going to play in since the beginning of February. So if he is able to have a big time performance defensively, because he is going to be the tallest player on the court by about 5 inches, he has the ability to defensively really take over games. And if he's able to defensively impose his will against a North Carolina team that doesn't have a ton of height, that could really go a long way in this one. San Diego State will also need a big time offensive performance collectively. Likely they're going to need at least 3 or 4 players to reach double digits to win this one, because even with the Aztecs having a fantastic defense, ranking as one of the top 15 best in the entire country, they are still going to need to put up at least 70, 65 points probably to win this game, because North Carolina does still have a very good offense. Overall, I think that the Aztecs will rise to the occasion with a dominant defensive performance, sending a potentially undeserving ACC team home, much like Colorado State did to Virginia last year. My predicted final, San Diego State wins 66-53. Now we move on to the round of 64. The first Mountain West team to play will be Utah State, taking on UCLA in Lexington, Kentucky. This is going to be happening on Thursday at 7:25 Mountain Time. UCLA is a 4.5-point favorite with a 22-10 record. The Bruins have a great defense and also have some great ball movement. This is definitely a team that's able to defend laterally very well and is also able to move the ball and get into passing lanes better than most teams in the country. As for Utah State, their offense is going to need to be as electric as they have been all year. They're a top 30 offense, although they have had a bit of hiccups down the stretch here. This is overall a roster that certainly can contend with UCLA. This should be an awesome game. The Aggies have that potent offense. They're going to have to find a way through UCLA's versatile and athletic defense. Mason Falslev and Ian Martinez will have to carry the load offensively, but a breakout game from someone like point guard Dayton Albury or someone else like maybe Carson Templin would go a long way for Utah State. Ultimately, I just don't have enough confidence in Utah State's front court, specifically of Dexter Akano and Aubin Gateretse, to slow down the Bruins' power forward duo. Eric Daly and Tyler Bilodeau combined to average 25 points a game and 9 rebounds. So those are two players that I just don't know if that Aggies front court is going to be able to slow down enough. Unless Falslev or Martinez drops 30 on the national stage, I just can't see the Aggies finding enough offense against UCLA's stifling defense. My predicted final, UCLA wins 70-64. Now on to Friday at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, we have arguably the most exciting draw of the field for the Mountain West, with the red-hot Rams colliding with Memphis, who is a 5 seed at 29-5, the American Conference champions, and the Tigers have one of the most electric offenses in the country. I know I've said something along those lines a couple times, but they are led by PJ Haggerty, their point guard, who leads the nation in points per game, and as a whole, this Tigers team can shoot the lights out. They do turn the ball over a good amount, and they struggle from the free throw line as well, but this Memphis team is viewed as one of the best offenses in the country, bar none. So the big thing to look for here is defensively, can Keon Evans and Jalen Lake slow PJ Haggerty down? That's going to be the big thing to look for here. Neat Clifford will shine, as he always does for the Rams, but the game will come down to whether or not the supporting cast rises to the occasion. And honestly, they have for the last 10 wins in a row, so why not now? I'm going to go with Colorado State winning this one 77-75. Now, if San Diego State is able to beat North Carolina and they move into the Field of 64, they will be taking on Ole Miss in Milwaukee on Friday at 2:05 Mountain Time. Ole Miss sits at 22-11, and this is a team that is very balanced and very efficient. All five starters average over 10 points a game. They average only 8.9 turnovers per game, which is a top five mark in the entire country. Ole Miss's biggest weakness is probably their lack of size, as they rank 300th in rebounding, and their efficiency does tend to drop the closer they get to the basket. So with everything I'm looking at, if we do indeed get to see this matchup, we'll likely see an absolute slugfest. While Ole Miss lacks rebounding, they have a balanced scoring attack that almost never turns the ball over, like we said. Once again, Magungwath will need to deliver as the Aztecs' defensive anchor if they want to move on to the round of 32. I'd love to see San Diego State have back-to-back strong offensive performances, but that hasn't been in their DNA this year. I think the Aztecs come up a hair short in this one, and Ole Miss ends up winning this 57-52. After that, we have the regular season champions New Mexico taking on 7 seed Marquette, who's 23-10, and man oh man, what a point guard battle we're going to witness here. We are all aware how amazing Donovan Dent has been this year, but Marquette's Cam Jones has gotten even more attention nationally, averaging 19 points a game, 6 assists, 4.5 rebounds. Two different styles of point guards, with Donovan Dent just having that electric speed and incredible decision making, where Cam Jones is kind of that slow the game down, control the pace of the game, just robotic like facilitator. So whichever showrunner has the better performance will likely be the team moving on to the next round. The Lobos should have an advantage on the glass, with the Golden Eagles ranking near the 300s in defensive rebounding. And the more I look at this matchup, the more I think New Mexico can pull this off. If Nelly Jr. Joseph shows up and really has a big defensive impact, I think that the Lobos are going to be able to pull this one off and send Marquette home 79-75. And really quickly, we do have two more teams that will be in postseason play. Boise State, of course, at 24-10, just missing out on March Madness. And instead of going to the NIT, as typically teams that just missed out on the field would, the top non-March Madness bracket this year is the Crown Tournament in Las Vegas, which is basically the same thing as the NIT, but there's also an NIL element to this. This will end up being the premier tournament going forward, I would imagine, if the current fields are anything to go off of, and you'll kind of get what I mean here in a minute. Boise State going to the Crown Tournament in Las Vegas. They're going to take on George Washington, who was the runner-up in the Atlantic 10. This game will be going down Monday, March 31st at 3:30 Mountain Time. And we do have a Mountain West team going to the NIT, and that's actually San Jose State at 15-19. And they are going to the NIT for the second time in program history, the first time since 1981. So definitely a big opportunity for Tim Miles and the Spartans here. And they're going to take on Loyola Chicago, who is 22-11, put together a very solid season. This game will be going down on Wednesday at 9:00 Mountain Time. So as you can see there, last year, the NIT had everybody that just missed out on the field. And this year, the NIT is giving a home game to 15-19 San Jose State. And I love San Jose State, but that's kind of a drop off from, you know, theoretically having Boise State as your 1 seed. And before I let you go, we do have some big time offseason news that we do need to touch on. First off, UNLV did fire Kevin Kruger after 4 seasons. And after that one official, arguably the bigger news came out that Deedon Thomas Jr. is going to be leaving UNLV. And and heading for the transfer portal. He's currently ranked as the number one transfer in the entire transfer portal, according to a couple of different websites. And I would imagine that Deaden Thomas Jr. is going to be hearing from just about every school in the country that needs a point guard. This was a guy that was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He decided to stay home with his dad being a UNLV alum. I thought maybe there was a chance he decided to stick around even with Crew Group being fired. But ultimately, I completely understand why Deaden Thomas Jr. is leaving. Just think about it. If he averages 15 points and 6 assists next year for UNLV, he'll be an all-conference performer again next year, but he's not really going to be on an NBA radar. If he does that at Kansas, or if he does that at St. John's or Duke or Kentucky, then he's probably going to be a first or second round pick. I completely understand why Deaden Thomas Jr. came to this decision. We'll see where he ends up. Another big time departure is Nick Davidson. The big man from Nevada is going to be transferring for his senior year. After back-to-back all-conference seasons, he's going to take his last year of eligibility and head for the Power Four. And last but not least, Obi Ogbeam, the sharpshooter from Wyoming, is entering the transfer portal. He is already getting a lot of offers. Seems like, much like Deaden Thomas Jr., Obi Ogbeam is on his way to a massive payday. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Let's see what our teams can do in the national spotlight. Also, our Mountain West transfer tracker is out now, so you can find a full link to the full list of portal entries in the description on your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Buckle up for what will hopefully be a long Mountain West filled March Madness. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson. Thank you for coming back to the Mountain.